Well, it has been my pleasure to walk with you for the last many weeks through the letters of John. If you want to follow along today, we are looking at the last and final letter from John. It's 3rd John. And if you'd like to follow along with your pew Bible, that's on page 1907. We will also have the words on screen for you too. At this point in the Apostle John's life, he is an old man. And he very well could have been the very last apostle alive at this point. And with him, he carries wisdom and authority and the eyewitness truth about Jesus. Like I said, this is his last letter that we have here in the Bible. It's a personal letter. And one little tidbit for you. This is the shortest book of the Bible. The shortest book of the Bible. In this letter, it deals with three people. Number one, it deals with Gaius. He is the recipient of the letter. Number two, it deals with, Diotrephes. And Diotrephes, he is a problem. And then finally, number three, we have a fellow named Demetrius. So Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius, three different people. Let us join together in prayer, and then we'll have the reading of God's word. Gracious God, we thank you for your infallible, inspired word. Lord, you have spoken through prophets, apostles, and teachers so that we will know the truth about your son Jesus. We will know the truth about what it means to be saved by your son. Lord, today as we hear this letter from the Apostle John to Gaius, Lord, teach us through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 3rd John. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. So this letter has the same ancient introduction that we saw last week with 2 John. It is from the elder. It is from the Apostle John. It is from that old, wise man with authority over the church. Sunday night, we had several of you over at our house for an event called Church and Cheese. And most of the cheese was good. But we did have one that I couldn't send home with anybody else. It was what, some sort of amaretto peach or something? I don't know. It was not good. But the rest of the cheese was good. If anybody's interested, do we have it left or we throw it? It's gone. So we had church and cheese at our house. This is where we invite you over to our house. You can have some cheese, and we had some apple cider last Sunday night. And we sat down together to learn something new. And what we learned together was something called inductive Bible study. Inductive Bible study is something that I learned from my pastor when I was a new Christian that really helped me wrap my mind around what it means to look at the Word of God in a deep way. And with inductive Bible study, you ask some questions. Who? What? Where? Why? When? And how? You pore over the text and try to figure some of these things out, if you can. You also look for things like key words in the text. You look for lists. You know, if there are different lists of different things, you look for those. And then you also look for repeating words and phrases. And as you pore over the text and look at many of these questions and others, I didn't go through them all, you start to get to a spot where you can go deeper and deeper into God's Word. And that's what we learned on Sunday night. Well, we can ask a few of those questions today. Who is this from? Like I said, it's from the Apostle John. He is a Bible expert in the truth. He is righteous in Christ. He was an eyewitness. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. And now he is an elder, pastor, and teacher over the churches. That's who this comes from. Old, wise Apostle John. Well, who is it to? Who was it written to? Well, we have that right here. To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Who is Gaius? Well, we know that he's a believer. We know that he is a godly man, and we know that he shares together in the truth with the Apostle John. They are on the same page when it comes to Jesus. They are friends in the truth. John calls him dear friend, so we know they have relationship with one another. We know that John loves him. He loves his brother in Christ. And perhaps Gaius is in a position of influence in his Christian community. And by looking at what he's able to do in the letter, he has extra. He has extra space. He probably has extra food and some extra finances that allows him to host some traveling missionaries or traveling preachers. So he could very well be wealthy. So that's who this is written to. And then in verse 2, John says, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. Well, we can start off here with this verse by looking back to our inductive Bible study. What do we find here? We find a repeat. What is repeated? Dear friend. That's dear friend. And John's prayer for his dear friend. His prayer is for health and for well-being, body and soul. Basically, John is asking God the best for his friend Gaius. This is something that we can pray for each other. We can pray for the best for each other when it comes to our bodies and when it comes to our souls. Lifting each other up. We can pray that our dear friends in Christ will do well physically, but also that they do well spiritually. We're talking about the whole person here, our wholeness, our whole self. Continuing on with verse 3, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. The reason John knows that Gaius is doing well is because he's received a good report. He's had some other traveling missionaries and pastors come back after visiting Gaius, and they've reported that this is a man full of faithfulness and truth, and that this guy is more than just talk. He's more than just words. Rather, this Gaius, he is walking the walk. And we can stop here and ask ourselves, how well are we walking the walk? Or are we all just talk? How well do those things line up? How well does what we believe line up with the way that we act? We have received the awesome, wonderful grace of Jesus. We are saved not because of anything that we've done, but we are saved by Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And because of that, we've been given new life. And this new life is a life that we are called to move into. We are called to action. We're called to live into our new life so that our beliefs and our actions line up. Not because we're doing it to earn salvation, but because we are saved. We follow Jesus and his commands. So how closely does what you believe line up with your actions? What's your report? If I were to go out into the community and talk to people that know you, what would they say about you? Would they say, yeah, that is a godly man. That is a godly woman. When I see them, I think of Jesus. Gaius, he's had a good report. He is excellent, he is admirable, and he is consistent in the truth. So John says in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. It very well could have been that John was the one that led Gaius to faith. It very well could have been. He calls him a dear child. Like I said, John is an old man at this point, and he's walking alongside many younger Christians, and he considers them his children. John, he has the heart of a pastor. He loves the people. He brings with him pastoral care. And for him, when he sees that people are walking in the light, people are living into the new life that we have in Jesus, it is a joy for him. And I'll tell you what, it is a joy for me when I am out and about in the community and I hear some good news about you. When I hear, oh, wow, I ran into so-and-so and they are just so awesome. Love to hear it. Continuing on with verse 5. Dear friend, we're back to our inductive Bible study again, right? Another repeat. Dear friend, he says it again. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. Well, we're starting to get to the heart of this letter now. We're getting closer to the why this letter was written. It's about hospitality. Hospitality in the ancient church is super important. I know that you guys have all read through the book of Acts. The longer name for the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. And as you read through the Acts of the Apostles, you will find out that the apostles and some of the deacons and others, they are traveling from Jerusalem. They are going out into different communities, and they are spreading the good news of Jesus. Do they have somewhere to stay? No. They have to rely on the goodness of the Christians that they encounter. They have to rely on the hospitality of others. When they go to a new community, they've got to stay with somebody. They've got to find shelter. They've got to find food. They've got to find clothing when their sandals wear out. They have to rely on others. So hospitality is super important. And at this point in the church, there are pastors and missionaries going out all over the place to bring the good news of Jesus. Hospitality is super important. Imagine being called to spread the good news of Jesus, not just in your circles of influence, but being sent out to different cities that you have never been to, different countries that you have never been to, picking up, leaving home, relying on the goodness of other Christians for your shelter, for your food, for travel expenses, for clothes, for whatever kind of health care that you need. This was needed in the early church, hospitality. It's still needed today. It's important to support missionaries and the work that they are doing. And it's also important to support pastors too. Gaius is faithful. He has a group of missionary pastors staying with him, and he's supporting them even though they are strangers. He doesn't know them, but he does know their message. These are people of the truth, and Gaius knows the difference because he is of the truth. I'd like to give you guys a good report here at this section too. Gaius, he's faithful, and First Reformed Church, you guys are faithful. You can look at our mission budget and know that we are faithful when it comes to supporting missionaries. And I don't know if I tell you guys this enough, but you guys have done such an awesome job supporting and blessing our family. It's an honor to be here and to serve here. We are so blessed. Have a wonderful home. You guys support us in an awesome way. Like I said, we are blessed. John continues in verse 6. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. Like I said, it's gotten back to John. Gaius has done well. And John here urges him to continue to do well. He knows that he will. If Gaius's household was a Culver's, I imagine Gaius would say, "My pleasure." Right? And he wouldn't just be saying it, he'd mean it. His faith is backed up by his actions. My pleasure. Well, what's your pleasure here among us at First Reformed? Maybe for you it's serving as an elder or a deacon. And maybe in your heart you say, you know what, my pleasure. Maybe it's serving on a ministry team. And your response to serving on the ministry team, my pleasure. Or maybe you help out by always volunteering for everything, and you say in your heart, my pleasure. Maybe you're a good giver to Christian ministry, both here and in other ways, and in your heart you say, my pleasure. Maybe it's supplying goodies and pizza to the youth group, and in your heart you say, my pleasure. Or maybe for you, you are an excellent greeter and you love to stop by and say hello and get to know new people, and in your heart you say, my pleasure. What is your attitude? Are you willing and ready, not just with words but with actions, even opening your home, your pocketbook, and your heart, all for the sake of the gospel? That's what Gaius has done here. Even maybe laying aside his agenda, laying aside his own preferences, and certainly laying aside his own comfort. He has people in his home that he doesn't even know. Again, all for the sake of the gospel. All right, verse 7. Speaking of those missionary pastors, it was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. John reminds Gaius why he supports them. They have gone out in the name of Jesus. These are gospel-driven, spreading the truth about Jesus kind of folks. And they are doing this for his glory. And number two, you're it. You're it. These men, they are supported by believers. And that's the only funding that they have. You know, I have the wonderful opportunity and privilege to serve on the board of the food pantry. And I've gotten a lot of questions about why we're paying rent to the city. We're moving into the new building, that new community center, or whatever you want to call it. We're moving over there at the end of this week. And we're going to have an awesome facility. And people are like, well, what? Why do you guys have to pay rent? And I say, you know what? We're not a division of the city of Waupun. We are the Waupun Christian Food Pantry. And we are renting a space from the city. And it's going to be a good partnership. But you know who supports the Waupun Christian Food Pantry? You do. You do. Our community does. The strong Christian community that we have here in Waupun, that is who supports the food pantry. That is where all of the finances come from. It's us. It's us. We're the ones that support the food pantry. And we'd like to keep it as a Christian food pantry, right? I want our director to have the opportunity to pray over all of the people that come in for food. She can put their hand on their shoulder and pray for them that their circumstances change. All in the name of Jesus. That's some powerful stuff. And our community has supported that food pantry ministry in an enormous way over the last many years. It's a real honor and privilege to see it all play out. So, verse 8. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men so that we may work together for the truth. Supporting them in so many different ways. I remember when I was in seminary in Holland, Michigan, I was surprised to find out that in Holland, Michigan, they had missionary houses. These were houses that were owned by local churches and perhaps also by the denomination that we were a part of. And these houses were there for missionaries that were home on furlough. If they did not have somewhere else to stay when they were home for 6 months or 9 months or however long their furlough was, they could stay in one of these houses. They were nice. They were fully furnished. This is the type of hospitality that the Apostle John is talking about here. And we ought to provide that kind of hospitality too. All right. Now, we got a little bit of a taste of the main thing that John is focused on here, hospitality. Now, we're going to talk about the problem. Now for the issue. I think he's building up to this. And now enters our second person, Diotrephes. Verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So, the story goes something like this. The Apostle John, we're talking about the Apostle John, writes a letter to the church. And he asks the church for hospitality. They are supposed to provide hospitality to traveling pastors, these traveling missionaries. That letter was intercepted, maybe read, just by Diotrephes. He grabs a hold of that letter. And what does he do with it? Well, he probably doesn't read it in front of the congregation like he should have done. Does he hide it or discard it? Just throw it away? Maybe. This Diotrephes, he doesn't want those traveling pastors and missionaries there. And he's doing what he can to keep them away. Why? Why would he do this? Well, he wants to be first, is what John says. He's one of these leaders who says, just listen to my preaching. It's all you need. We don't need those outsiders. Just listen to my orders. My way is the right way, and it should be my way or the highway. Sometimes we get an idea that back when the church began, the early church, that was a perfect time for the church, when there was no division whatsoever, but we would be completely, utterly, and totally wrong. They had to deal with some different garbage in the church during their days. And I tell you what, I've been around the block a time or two, and we have to deal with some of this stuff today, unfortunately. And now, here's the icing on the cake. John says that he wants nothing to do with us. Wants nothing to do with us. This guy doesn't want anything to do with the greater church that John has authority over. And he doesn't want to have anything to do with the Apostle John. Talk about pride. Talk about being smug, right? To say that you don't want to have anything to do with the Apostle John, one of the very eyewitnesses to Jesus, somebody that walked with Jesus, man, that is bold. That is bold. Verse 10. So, John says, if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing. Gossiping maliciously about us, not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. The Apostle John, he will come and he will confront this guy. And he's going to ask him some hard questions. Why are you doing this evil gossip about us? Diotrephes, you are being prideful. Diotrephes, you are just in this for yourself. Diotrephes, you need to repent and turn away from your sin. And this wasn't just a small thing. This guy, Diotrephes, he was also preventing others from bringing in these missionary pastors. And if somebody brought some of these missionary pastors into their homes, what did Diotrephes do? He would kick them out of the church. This guy has a serious power trip problem. And it makes you wonder. Makes you wonder if he had tried to throw Gaius out of the church for bringing in pastors. I'm guessing that maybe Gaius has some prominence in the church, so Diotrephes has not been able to get him out yet, but maybe he's working on it. All right, verse 11. Dear friend, we have it again. Dear friend, he says it again. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God, and anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. My dear friend Gaius, don't back down to Diotrephes. Continue in the good work. Diotrephes, he does not know God. He is a faker, and he is for himself. Don't buy into his ideas. He is not from God. He has not seen God. And then finally, we are on to the third person. This third person, Demetrius, he's probably the letter carrier. He's probably the one that delivered this letter to Gaius. And he is certainly one of these missionary pastor teachers that's staying with Gaius. And this is what John has to say about him in verse 12. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. Demetrius, he is being prevented by Diotrephes from speaking in the church, certainly. And this guy, Demetrius, he has a great message. He has a great word. He has great gifts. He has a great calling. And he truly serves the Lord. He can be trusted and he should be heard in the church. And this fellow Demetrius, he has the approval, the very approval of the Apostle John. If someone is to be mimicked, it should be Demetrius and not Diotrephes. Now, in conclusion, we got one verse left here. Two verses, 13 and 14. 13 and the first part of 14. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Letter and written words are good, but face to face is best. You know, I have an opportunity to meet with other pastors from the Alliance from throughout all of Wisconsin. We get together on Zoom every couple of weeks. So we bring up our computers, we put on our headsets, and we have our cameras, and we talk to each other, but it's just not the same as being together which we try to do once a month now. There's something about being face to face, something about hearing each other's voices, about seeing one another, watching each other's facial expressions, and being able to pray for one another in the same room. There's something awesome about that. And John, the Apostle John here, he can't wait to see his dear friend again, his dear friend Gaius. Now for the last section of verse 14. He says, "Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." Peace. Shalom. The rest of the church, pastors and teachers, they say hi. And make sure to say hi for me, too. Like I said, this is a personal letter from John to a dear friend. And it's also a reminder, inductive Bible study. We went through the who, what, where, why, when, and how. We looked at some of the key words. We looked at some of the, we didn't see much for lists in this one, but we certainly had a repeating word, a dear friend. When we do this, we look over the text, and then we find the best interpretation for it. Following, we need to follow up with some action. After reading this letter, we can say, go and do likewise. Hospitality. Hospitality is super important. It's super important at home. And it's super important here too. Maybe sometime this week, think about how you can extend hospitality in one way or another. How you yourself, maybe not out loud, but in your heart, say, you know what? My pleasure. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for this wonderful personal letter between the Apostle John and his friend Gaius. Lord, it is awesome and amazing just to see this solid relationship, brothers in Christ, working to deal with an issue in the church. Lord, may we be as focused and full of grace and truth as John and Gaius. And Lord, may we preach the gospel like Demetrius. And Lord, if some of us have some Diotrephes in our hearts, cast that out. Bring us into new life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.